from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. They are Jiffy Lube. They sponsor the show. You need oil change, brakes, go to Jiffy Lube. Visit JiffyLube.com for more information. Today, a keyword for the Rivercats game, Friday, August 16th. Mm-hmm. It is an ESPN 1320 suite night. We will have a suite. And to fill it up, we are inviting you. You can enter at ESPN1320.com. Enter the code word STEAL on the contest page. That is STEAL, S-T-E-A-L, as in steal a base. We will pick a winner every day this week and next week. That'll be 10 winners, all with plus ones. Everybody will hang out at Sutter Health Park with us on August 16th. And before that, on August 3rd, that's this Saturday, we invite you out to Sutter Health Park to watch James Hamm throw out the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
Super exciting. Get out there. Rivercats.com. Get your tickets today. I would say be in the building by like 6:15.
Okay.
Just to make sure, not you, people going to the game, get there like 6:15. Just to make sure you have time to get a drink or a beer or whatever your choice is, get some food and get to your seats to make sure you were there to watch James throw out the first pitch.
Okay. I'm excited.
You're welcome. I'm trying to get people out there.
Yeah, come out and see me.
Yeah.
I don't know, but that's a good idea. I don't.
It is. It's a great idea.
Okay.
Everybody, we should sell out Sutter Health Park.
We should.
Mm-hmm. Just for you.
That's right.
Do you want to do King's Internet Rumor?
Yeah, let's do King's Internet Rumor.
I'm not going to... This is where the... I've had to alter my principles on this.
Okay.
As I've gotten into radio. If I was writing, if I was doing kingswire.com...
Or something more like the King's Beat, something like that.
Or if I was... Well, it's a little different because I feel like King's Beat is more you do beat reporter stuff. I'm talking like straight blogging.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight grabbing any rumor and throwing it out there.
Okay.
Right. I don't think you would cover this type of rumor at the King's Beat. And if I was at kingswire.com, I would probably, which isn't a site, by the way.
Yeah.
I would probably not touch this. But we're on the radio, so we have more ways to talk around it. There's a rumor, real or fake, TBD. But it involves the Kings being interested in Robert Williams, the center from Portland.
Okay.
And acquiring him via trade. So I have a bunch of stuff on this. First question, why? I don't, what?
Yeah.
When you hear this or you see this, what is your immediate thought?
Okay, so... It's tough because, to be honest with you, I do think that the Kings need a guy who's 6'9", who super athletic, flies all over the court, is an incredible defensive player, right? We're talking about, yes, a guy who was like number 7 a couple of years ago. He was 7th in Defensive Player of the Year voting as a 24-year-old. He was also second team all defense. And then the injuries hit. And for a big man, the injuries aren't good injuries. They are he's had repeated knee injuries, and that's not good. So I'm a little leery on him as a player because of that. I also, like everybody else, would acknowledge that this is a guy who I don't even know. In his career, he's taken 4 3-point shots total.
Yeah, not a floor spacer.
He's 0-for-4. Like, that's it. And so I'm going to guess that most of those are like buzzer beaters type, yeah, stuff. So, like, look, this is not the guy that you would think of putting next to Domantas Sabonis. But he is a guy that I would put on the court at the same time as Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. I think he can be a disruptor. I think he can be a guy who's flying around and not only playing great defense, but being a pick and roll specialist with Malik. He's young. He's still 26. He'll be 27 in October. The problem is with Robert Williams is, and you know, again, he's got one of the great nicknames of all time. He's a Time Lord. But the problem is that he can't stay healthy at all throughout his career. 61 games is the most he's ever played in a season. Most of his games played 32, 29, 52, 35, and good 6.
Good. 6.
6.
Is and, this... Look, would this, does it, do you buy the idea that the Kings are interested in Robert Williams?
Maybe. Like, again, we have to look at, like, his salary. We got to look at all the things that, like, we tie into. Like, would he fit? And the answer is, oh, maybe. Maybe. But maybe not.
What this is, now we're crumpling this up and tossing it. Now I just want to talk about Robert Williams just in general.
Yeah.
He is, in this sense, whether it's the Kings or another team that's trying to acquire Robert Williams, again, let's crumple up this
yeah,
internet
yeah.
rumor and toss it. He is one of those players that is a theory guy.
Mm-hmm.
It is, in theory, Robert Williams could help pick your favorite team. I'm going to say the Kings because we're in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Helps the team in X, Y, and Z ways.
Yep.
Rim runner, shot blocker, would be a great fit as a backup 5. Cool, great, awesome.
Yep.
Might even find a way to play him alongside Domas, but again, that matters less than, in theory, Robert Williams is a really good fit.
Yeah,
there are so many players like this. I feel like I said that about Robert Williams today when we were kind of like, okay, how are we gonna toss this around? Like, eh. It's like, in theory, I see the vision, but I feel like I have said that about 50 players this offseason.
Well, I think there's something, Kyle, that when a rumor does pop up, and just kind of like throw the Robert Williams idea out of your mind, like whether it's going to happen or not, like who knows, like probably not, but this is one of those things, like the money, we could talk about all that and like get into a serious conversation. The fact is that anytime there is a rumor, somebody's going to write about it. And it doesn't matter what rumor it is, somebody's going to write about it. You know, like when I was at NBC, like any rumor, like, hey, you want to write on this? And it's like, hey, I'll track it a little bit and see if it's real. But at the same time, I can write a why it would be a good idea and why it would be a bad idea. And I think that that's what we've gotten so used to is, like any rumor that's out there, you grab, and initially you can hate it, and then slowly you start buying into it, and then fans buy into it, and next thing you know, okay, I don't think this is such a bad idea. And then this, again, this Robert Williams thing, there were months ago, there was like a, hey, the Kings could be one of the teams that were interested, right? Mm-hmm. And if they decide to make a move with him, maybe the Kings would be one of the teams that are interested. So I don't even know if something like this is being regurgitated from like months ago.
Sure.
Which is very likely, right? Mm-hmm. But when we get to it, I think that there are so many players that we'll throw out there, and then you start to like, rationalize and start to figure out. Like, okay, I can go with that guy. I can figure that out.
I'm not, I can't do it. I can't get there with Robert Williams.
No, that's fine. But I mean, but like how many times have we talked about like Kelly Oubre, right?
Kelly Oubre is a good one.
Kelly Oubre.
I have a bunch of theory guys here.
Of course.
We can put together a first team all theory. Kelly Oubre.
He might be first team all like hypothetical. And again, like
when he was good for the Sixers last year though.
No, he was. And there was a couple of years ago with under Jay Triano in Charlotte where he averaged over 20 a game. And the thing is, like when we hear this, like I went in and asked about I asked De'Aaron Fox about Kelly Oubre because Oubre is a guy that he played AAU ball.
Yeah.
And he's like, I would love to have him on this team.
Yeah.
He's like, we need a guy who's got a little crazy in him, but also like who's long and athletic and can run the floor and all that stuff. He's like, whatever he is now versus what he was when I knew him in high school when we were close, he's like, it doesn't matter. Like, we're still friends and we can, like, I could figure out a way to play with him. So that's how, like, I usually take that conversation to a different level. But he's a guy that, like, hypothetically, like, you always wondered, I wonder what he would look like on the Kings. And there are a lot of them, man. And a lot of, like, a lot of times, like, we talk ourselves into guys that,
I don't want to put myself in the basket of talking myself into guys because there's a bunch of guys I wrote down here that I will not talk myself into.
Okay.
John Collins. Yep, John Collins, first team all theory for me.
First team. He is the starting power forward on the first team.
Right.
All theory.
Because in the way, let me explain where my thought process is with this.
Yeah.
This is, John Collins is what he is as a player. He's not a bad NBA player. He is a rotation player, a starter on an NBA team. He's fine.
Yeah.
But with a player like John Collins, and this is every player we're going to talk about here in a second, or I think every player, I've got a couple of question marks.
Yeah.
But it's always, well, if he does X, Y, and Z, he can be, has he done that at any point in his 7-year career, 8-year career, however long it's been? Well, no, but maybe it'll work this time.
The problem with Collins is that he did exactly what you wanted him to do as like a 23-year-old. It was like 20 and 10, shooting 35.5% from three, blocked a shot a game. A perfect fit next to Domantas Sabonis as a power forward. Like, if you could get that player and drop him on the Kings today, you'd be like, oh, man, he's the lob threat that Malik needs. He's a floor spacer. He blocks shots. He does all of these things. And you're like, oh.
In theory.
But the problem is you can't ever get a guy to go back to who they were once they become something different. And I don't know why that is in the NBA, but thinking that you could fix him is such a fool's errand. And I get
like the allure, right?
Yeah.
Because, hey, a power forward who stretches the floor and blocks shots, like, is athletic, lob threat, rim runner. Yes, that is. But, dude, doesn't it tell you something that Atlanta traded him and that the Jazz would then be looking to move him in the scenario where you're acquiring him in a trade?
Yeah.
This kind of perfect, quote unquote, in theory, player for the modern NBA. Wouldn't be able to stay on a team.
It's wild, man. I'm telling you, his 22-year-old
season.
He's
the guy for me.
21.6 points, 10.1 rebounds. He averaged 1.6 blocks. He shot 40% from three.
Like, on how many attempts?
On 3.6 attempts per game. Like, this is a player that when you looked at him, it was really tough to not see him as like a long-term all-star level player. And a really, really good second, third option for a good team.
Yeah.
And then it went away. And so the last handful of years, you know, again, Atlanta went a different direction. Utah, every time he stepped on the floor last year, again, 15.1 points, 8.5 rebounds, blocked 0.9 shots per game and 37% from three. Still would like the idea of him.
Love the idea.
But those numbers are on a bad team and they do not translate to what you're trying to do. And so, yeah, like he is a first team all imaginary like addition.
You know who's the starting point guard?
Oh?
Your guy. Ben Simmons.
Yes. Okay. Exactly.
You brought up Ben Simmons today, and I was like, I couldn't believe I didn't think about that.
Well, there's a video that you guys can go out and find. There's way too many curse words for us to sit there. It's a conversation with Richard Jefferson and George Nyang, where he talked about the feeling that players have about Ben Simmons.
Bro goes in. He goes on in. Ben Simmons.
He literally said, "Hey, I'm not a dirty player, but I play hard and all that stuff." He said, "But if I go up against that guy, you might want to throw some of that idea out the window. Like if I have an opportunity to put him in the seats, I will."
It was not one of those like, yeah, you know, I'm not going to really say anything. And, you know, no disrespect. It was I'll say exactly what I think about him as a player and as a man.
Well, that,
like, oh my God.
And even more importantly, as a teammate.
Yes.
That's as a teammate, he said it.
Yeah.
Because he went to Philadelphia to play with Ben Simmons, to be the guy who sat in the corner and got all these wide open looks from Ben Simmons, and then Ben Simmons didn't want to play anymore. And he's like, I'm here on a slightly above league minimum deal, and we got this guy making $38 million a year, and he just doesn't want to play anymore. And so now my career is getting derailed because you're being an idiot. Mm-hmm. Like, it was pretty earth-shattering, where teammates don't usually talk about teammates in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, they will under their breath. And, like, I know who some of the worst teammates mm-hmm. there ever were in the mm-hmm. league, not just in Sacramento, but guys who went out and came back were like, oh, man.
Word travels fast.
Yeah, yeah. So, but to have somebody actually vocalize it, yeah. So Ben Simmons is the starting point guard or small forward or center or whatever you want to put him at.
Super versatile, which is why, in theory... Ben Simmons would be awesome. Does Jordan Poole fit on this team? On the all theory team?
I don't think so. Because I always looked at Jordan Poole as like a poor man's Malik Monk, and then he went out there and got paid like a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel bad for Jordan Poole, because if Jordan Poole was making, had got like a 4-year $80 million contract or a 4-year $65 million, I wouldn't feel that badly about Jordan Poole. I put him in the same category as like a Malik Monk or Jordan Clarkson,
mm-hmm.
like that type of like microwave off the bench,
mm-hmm.
but that he's been miscast and mispaid, and now you have to start him because he makes starter money, but you can't start him because he's not good enough.
Yes.
And it's just this really, really wild. But yeah, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he's a better player than he's shown the last couple of years, particularly last year in Washington. I just think it's a really bad situation for him. But I'm with you, man. If you drop him onto the last year's Orlando Magic and had him coming off the bench and being a shot creator for them,
you
feel a lot better about where Jordan Poole is. That's fine.
The more minutes he gets, the less efficient he is, and that's tough.
Seems it.
Yeah.
What about PJ Washington?
Yeah, he's like the we should have got him. We should have got him. That's what everyone thought about PJ Washington a million times. PJ Washington as a $2.5 million player, which he was for a long time. Mm-hmm. He made no money early in his career. Like, was always so appealing. But the second he got paid, you're like, okay, I'm not sure. And, in Charlotte, he was a little heavy. You're like, then he gets to Dallas and you're like, man, he figured it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he figured out how to play with not only with Luka, but... he got in much better shape, and he's become the player that, it would really have helped the Kings.
That's why I'm not putting him on the all theory team. He was really good for them, for Dallas in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So PJ Washington to me went away from theory last year and just became a really high quality player.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
I think
PJ Washington, you're off the team. Sorry, bud.
One of the leaders in the all theory team has to be one of like the starter, has to be Kyle Kuzma.
Interesting.
Because Kyle Kuzma, like we talk ourselves into him, we talk ourselves out of it. We're like, for me, the contract means so much. But outside of that, the player himself, I've always like the game, but I don't know that it's all serious. And I don't know that, like, he's an in theory guy. In theory, you put him next to Domantas Sabonis and he's shooting 30, for some reason you think he's shooting 37-38% from three, and he's averaging 18 points and eight rebounds and a block, and you're like, okay, I get it.
Okay.
But then you look at it and you're like, oh, I don't know that he would actually do that. I don't know if he would buy in. Like, if you got Kyle Kuzma on this team right now, he's probably your fifth or sixth best player. I didn't think that a while ago, but I don't think I'm putting him above Malik Monk. I don't know that I'm putting him above, maybe he's above Keegan Murray. So maybe he's your, but again, that puts him as fifth. You got Fox, you got Sabonis, you got DeMar DeRozan, 1, 2, 3, no question.
And I think Monk four.
The possibility of Keegan Murray could be 5 or 4.
Unless he's an 18-8 guy shooting 38% from three.
Yeah, maybe. So I just think it's interesting. We think of these players and we talk ourselves into them because they become, you know, they become an option for the Kings.
I'm going to bring up a name right now.
Yep.
That I want to make sure I'm couching this correctly, because I do not mean this disrespectfully at all. This player has carved out a really, really excellent NBA career. He's been an NBA champion, and he has been in the league forever. He is not a bad player. But let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Green.
Yeah.
Jeff Green has had a fine career, but it always felt, for like a decade, it felt like Jeff Green would go to a different team and the analysis would be, yo, this is the one. This is where Jeff Green turns into LeBron James light. Everybody watch out for Jeff Green. This is it. This is the one. Oh, it didn't work out. Okay. Oh, hey, but now he's with that team. Now, this is the situation for him. And he's been a really good role player.
Yep.
And a player that you can spot start, and a good veteran. And there's no zero shame in Jeff Green's career. He's just the first name I always think of as a guy who the ceiling was way up here. And he didn't get to the ceiling, but everybody always wanted him to get, hey, this is going to be the time. And he just never quite did.
I fully agree with Jeff Green. You have to remember, too, he's like a super high pick. What is it, the number 5 pick in the draft?
Yes. Go ahead.
Keep talking. He's one of the drafts from Seattle. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's the 5th pick in the 2007 NBA draft.
Man.
And he's right there, like he's part of the team that they're building with Westbrook and with mm-hmm. Durant and all that stuff in Seattle/OKC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he just never has really lived up to what you thought he was going to be. His second year, he averaged 16.5 points a game, and you're like, oh man, he's got it. I'll tell you this. We talked yesterday about the Houston Rockets, right? I think we came up with 7 young players that we loved.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we talked about Fred VanVleet. We talked about Steven mm-hmm. Adams. We talked about Dylan Brooks.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about these veterans that they bring in. Jeff Green's on that team too. And yeah. I think that speaks volumes about where we are with Jeff Green.
Yep.
As we mentioned every single other player on that team. You know, maybe we didn't mm-hmm. bring up Jayshon Tate. Who's still there, right? Mm-hmm. But we also didn't bring up Jeff Green, and it's just kind of like his career in a nutshell. He just kind of floats.
He has played in the league for 17 years now?
17. Going on 18.
Going into his 18th season, 37 years old.
He's going to make almost $10 million.
Average 12 points for his career. He's at 12 points, 4 boards, 1.5 assists. I forgot he had that heart condition in the 2011-12 season that forced him to miss the entire season.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he came back, averaged 13-4. The next year, averaged 17-4.6. Like I said, this is not to say that Jeff Green was at some point like a terrible NBA player.
Yeah.
He has played for so many teams.
It's just the hypothetical. I totally get what you're saying, though.
Was so much higher than where he got, and he's been awesome.
Yeah.
So, again, no disrespect to Jeff Green whatsoever. Houston Rockets legend. Couple more here as we roll through this. Is Harrison Barnes an all theory guy?
Maybe. I don't know.
Again, he's in that same bucket for me. Had an awesome career. He's been so good.
Yeah.
But last year, like, hey, if Harrison Barnes can just take that one little step, if Harrison Barnes can improve.
I had given up on Harrison Barnes improving. I just thought he would stay like the player he was for a couple more seasons. And I think that player would have helped. Like, I think a player gets to a certain point and you just have to accept who they are, right?
Okay.
You do. You just have to go, okay, look, you're probably a 15-5 and 3 guy.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's not a 15-5 and 3 guy anymore. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah, now he's a 12-3-1 guy.
Yeah. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, still shooting the 3. That's fine.
Shoots the heck out of it.
Yeah. We have a bunch of players on this. Like,
Tobias Harris is the starting 3.
Yeah, he's got to be... I think everybody is a long, athletic 3-4 combo in this entire discussion because that's who the Kings have needed for so long.
Okay, here's one. D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, he's a guy that I never wanted to cover and would never want on.
He is D'Angelo Russell. I think there is the biggest chasm between... There's 3 groups. There's basketball, non-Laker... fan edition.
Okay.
Basketball fan non-Laker edition. There's basketball fan Laker edition, and there's NBA players, past, present, and future.
Okay.
Laker fan, basketball fan is like either in or out on D'Lo.
Yep.
They're all in on him or all out. Basketball fan non-Laker edition is usually like, he's just not a winning guy. He's just kind of there. He has his moments, but you don't love him. Past and present NBA player, I feel like to a man is like D'Lo is nice.
I don't know.
That dude can play. And I always defer to the professional athletes because they play, they've been around him, they had to defend him, they've had to game plan, they've been on his team. But dude, I don't see it.
Okay, so I don't ever see it either, but he's also, I think this will encapsulate what I think about him, like, in a nutshell. Like, anytime there's been a guy who is a bona fide Kings killer,
mm-hmm.
it's always a guy you're like, man, if the Kings could get that guy, even if it's just so he doesn't cook you 3 times, 4 times a year.
It's just worth 4 wins just having him on the team.
You're always like, man, how many times has D'Angelo Russell hit like 6 threes in the 4th to destroy your, and just like break you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saying all that, I don't think there are any Kings fans out there that'd be like, oh yeah, I want that guy. There's not. Like the quintessential like discussion of this is Derek Smith in like the first year of the Sacramento Kings, the 85-86 season. He rolls in with the Clippers, torches the Kings for 30-something points. Mm-hmm. The Kings give up everything. We're all in on Derek Smith. Boom. Give Derek, RIP Derek Smith. But they give all of this to Derek Smith. Blows out his knee, never the same, never plays hardly at all. Oh. And you're like, oh, man. But still, it's that every single time you see that guy, it's like, oh, man, he torches Sacramento.
Yeah.
And you still wouldn't. Like, I don't think there's anyone.
That's a tough go. That's a tough beat.
If there was a rumor right now that D'Angelo Russell might be going to the Kings, no Kings fan is going to talk themselves into it. I don't think. Like, I think most Kings fans would be like, no.
I don't care. I said with Devin Carter, I was like, I'll talk myself into this eventually. It took me 8 minutes. It's like, yeah, I see it. Okay, I'm in.
Yeah, yeah.
D'Angelo Russell, there's no world. Nope. There's no, I could read something on, you could do an expose on the Kings beat about how D'Angelo Russell fits with the Kings and in this offense, and here's what he's going to do. I'm not buying it.
Nope.
I'm not doing it. You couldn't talk me into it.
That's funny.
We have a few more players we can run through today if we would like to. U.S. men's basketball is back in action tonight. Actually, Brock Purdy can't stop throwing interceptions, but speaking of talking ourselves into people, apparently you're talking yourself into a potential Kings trade target. I got my ear to the streets, and that's what I'm hearing. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. The Oakland Athletics are back in action tonight at Oracle Park against the San Francisco Giants. The A's beat the Giants 5-2 last night. J.P. Sears gets the win for Oakland. Robbie Ray takes the loss for the Giants. And I was floored by the Giants are the better team. Giants have a chance to make the playoffs. They could still make a playoff push. That's very much on the table still. The A's are not going to make the playoffs. The A's are just battling to hit their preseason over. But it was jarring to me just how much more fun it looked like the A's were having playing baseball last night. And maybe it's just because they were hitting the ball over the fence and they won 5-2, and that's what's shaping my perception of that game ultimately. But they look like there are two teams that are so... There's an eight-game discrepancy between them in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
But watching last night, you wouldn't know which one is which.
No, I totally agree. And if you're watching the A's play, this is... It's sort of who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are like mad bombers. Like, they're, what are they, fourth in Major League Baseball in home runs on the season?
They're a slow pitch softball team.
Yes, in a lot of regards, they are a slow pitch.
Yep.
Brent Rooker is just absolutely crushing the ball. Lawrence Butler's crushing mm-hmm. the ball. You know, you're like fifth or sixth best hitter. JJ Bleda has like 13 home runs. Mm-hmm. You got a catcher who's quietly got 20.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at all of these players and you're wondering why, if some of these guys were available and you're the San Francisco Giants who hasn't had a guy hit 30 home runs since Barry Bonds in like, you know, the early mm-hmm. 2000s, you wouldn't have gone and chased somebody like a Brent Rooker. Why you wouldn't have gone out and tried to get a Shea Langeliers off of the A's, because you need those bats. Mm-hmm. Like, this is... They're not the superstar bats that you're chasing for huge money,
mm-hmm.
but the way that the A's have put this team together, they're at least a whole lot of fun. And mm-hmm. I would like to see a few more ingredients that they have hiding. You know, I'm hoping that Estuary Ruiz can make it back, start stealing some bases, start getting in scoring position for some of these guys. But man, this team they're at least a lot of fun to watch, the A's. They're spectacular in the month of July. They had a 500 record for one of the few times in a long time. They've won a bunch of series in a row.
Mm-hmm.
They've got two guys who are cooking in Rooker and Lawrence Butler. Absolutely cooking. So, yeah, this should be a fun matchup again.
Yeah, I hope so. It's Ross Stripling, San Francisco Giants legend, against Logan Webb, This is where...
Sacramento legend.
Sacramento legend, Logan Webb. Thank you. I think the A's are in trouble tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, I don't feel good about the pitching matchup. And the problem with, and this is why the A's, despite having the fourth most home runs in baseball, the problem for the A's is they have the fourth most home runs in baseball. Where do you think they rank in total runs scored?
It's not good. I'm going to guess middle of the pack?
No, they are below league average. They are 20th.
Oof.
League average runs per game is 4.4. They're at 4.1. They're worse than 20th in runs per game. And that's kind of the problem. Being a team that lives and dies by the home run is like being a team that lives and dies by the three in basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Only it's easier to generate open threes. It's harder to hit home runs. And that's great. You're going to get your games where the fact that they hit four homers last night and scored five runs is a problem. And that's kind of the overall, you know, and that's why we have to be careful when we talk about the A's, because are they fun? 100%. Do they hit a ton of home runs? Without a doubt. Are they good? Absolutely not. Like they're still bad.
They are. I mean,
that's an important caveat to all of this.
I mean, it does speak volumes that Ross Stripling is 34 years old, almost 35 years old. On the season, Kyle, he's 2-9 with a 6.02 ERA, and he's still making starts. That tells you that there's a problem there. Like, they don't have great starting pitching. Mason Miller is on the DL, the IL, with a broken pinky, is it?
Yeah.
From slamming his hand down on a table. These things happen. But
why is it only baseball? Why is it only baseball has weird injuries? You never hear about, I guess it's happened a couple times in the NBA, but you never hear about NFL player is out for 2 weeks because he kicked a table.
I don't know. You
never hear that.
We did have like the Kelly Oubre got run over while riding his bike story. So, and then whether that was real or Kelly Oubre, who is a near professional BMXer, was actually breaking his contract and going out and doing professional BMX tricks.
I guess he had Gus Frerotte running into the wall head first.
Oh, yeah. Did he headbutt the wall or did he headbutt the goalpost?
He headbutted the wall.
Oh, the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess there's weird. It feels like baseball is more prone to the weird injuries where guys are smacking their hand on a table and now they're out for 6 weeks.
Okay. I do remember Lionel Simmons with the Sacramento Kings got a Nintendo thumb and missed like a week.
He got a what?
Yeah, he was playing too much of the Nintendo and he basically got a
sprained his thumb.
It's thumb injury that kept him out of games. Tough look.
So Mason Miller not in the lineup. Not in the bullpen, I should say, for the A's. And this is where this pitching matchup, Stripling against Webb. I don't trust Ross Stripling to go out and get outs.
No.
I don't. And Logan Webb is an all-star.
Yeah.
And a Cy Young candidate. Well, he was last year anyway. Logan Webb is really good. And has he had his ups and downs this year? Yes. But I don't, if you're looking at this game, and vibes don't win ball games, unfortunately. And the A's may have way better vibes, but we could be talking about a very, very different feel tomorrow if Logan Webb goes out and goes eight innings and doesn't allow a run and the Giants go win 6-0.
No, that's very true. I would say, though, that vibes, like the vibes in Oakland are pretty good right now. The vibes
strong,
with the A's.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so I want to see how far vibes can take you because this team has played really well. Again, I think they've won four series in a row. And they've put themselves at least in an opportunity to play spoiler and at least have a good time down the stretch here. It just really is tough when your pitching matchup is a guy with a 6.02 ERA versus a guy who is a bona fide, you know, number one, number two starter in the National League.
Right. Yeah. What I'm looking for the A's now that the trade deadline is passed is just continue being fun. I want Lawrence Butler. He's been scorching hot in July. Same with Brent Rooker. I don't expect them to continue being that hot through August and September, but continue being good. Regress, there's going to be regression, but not it can't be all the way down to rock bottom where that's now the outlier of, oh, Lawrence Butler actually isn't very good, or oh, Brent Rooker isn't very, although Rooker has a long enough track record now that you feel good about it, but you don't want to see a guy like Lawrence Butler who's been tearing the cover off the ball all of a sudden go 0-for-30.
Yeah.
I want to see them continue building this momentum where, hey, this is a wave that they caught. They finished the season strong. I talked about the 2017 A's a while back. It kind of has that feel where you see the vision and you start to see what this team could look like moving forward. I don't expect them to win tonight, but I think that they're going to win some games down the stretch here.
Yeah, I definitely think so too. I think they're going to be fun. They're going to be exciting. They're going to hit a whole bunch of home runs. And you're also getting a couple of young guys who are really getting an opportunity to solidify themselves as big league players. And so hopefully we see Lawrence Butler do that. Hopefully we see Zach Geloff get back on track. He's been all over the board this season. Hopefully Tyler Soderstrom comes off the IL and starts making some headway. And you're starting to build at least your starting, you know, infield, outfield up. And then hopefully you can add some pitching in the future to sort of get this team over the hump.
Looking right now, the over-under for tonight is 7.5.
Oh.
And the Giants are heavy favorites. They are -210 on the money line. +100 on the run line and -1.5. Give me the Giants on the run line plus the over.
Mm.
I think the Giants win tonight. I'm going to call it 7-2. Go 7-2 Giants.
Wow. You don't think Russ Stripling has a little payback for his old team?
I don't. I think the A's are at a pretty significant disadvantage tonight with the pitching matchup. And just like I said, I'm not ready to bank on their offense on a day-in, day-out basis. Because if they're not hitting the ball over the fence, it's pretty hard for them to generate runs.
No, I totally agree. So
that's where that's at. A's against Giants tonight at Oracle Park. Russ Stripling against Logan Webb coming up for you. We got Team USA men's basketball coming up at noon, too.
I'm loving it.
Can't wait. By the way, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Team USA men's basketball against South Sudan. U.S. is favored by 29.5 points against a team that, like a week and a half ago, they beat by one.
I don't think I would take the over.
You're not taking the points?
I'm not taking the points. I would take South Sudan.
+29.5?
+29.5.
I think you have to, just on principle.
Yeah.
You just have to, the 29.5 points?
Yeah, but I mean,
are they going to win by 30?
They're rolling up a whole lot of people. So, you know, like Team USA is starting to show who they are. But still, I think that this team, they've given some people scared. They've won a game.
Yeah, they beat Puerto Rico, right?
Yeah, I think that's who it was. I'm not sure. But they're at least fun. And it's kind of been one of those, you know, things that we've talked about all week long where, you know, the Luol Deng effect, like they're trying to build something.
They beat Puerto Rico 90-79.
Oof. Yeah, we were watching Puerto Rico earlier. We have Kings legend Isaiah Pinheiro. Mm-hmm. From Placer High School.
Yep, playing for Puerto Rico.
Yeah, against Philip Petrusev, Kings legend Philip Petrusev.
Yeah, Gonzaga guy?
Oh, yeah, he is St. a Gonzaga Mary's? Guy, but then
one
he,
of the WAC schools.
And he, I think it is Gonzaga, and he left and went to, during the pandemic, he went overseas to play, so.
I see. Yeah, so here's where, I don't think I would take the U.S. -29.5 either.
Yeah.
And maybe they've locked in. Maybe they mailed it in against South Sudan when they played them a couple weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, or whenever it was. And now they're going to roll them. But watching Serbia beat down Puerto Rico the way they did, well, that wasn't close. Like, it wasn't even, they won by 20 points.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that close. Hmm. The fact that the U.S. handled Serbia the way they did makes me feel really good about their way they're playing. And Jason Tatum didn't even play in that first game.
Yeah, I think that's the one I would look at. Like, what is Tatum going to look like tonight? How many up? Like, are they going to give him a ton of opportunity, or
I hope so.
How are they going to handle that? Like there's going to be like, it's definitely an interesting, it's awkward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because he could play, but he could play 12 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a 40-minute game. It's tough. I mean, I do get that. Like, Steve Kerr does have that problem. It's a 40-minute game, and playing more than 10 guys is very difficult, but I don't think you...
I have an idea.
Yeah?
You can play less Joel Embiid.
That's possible.
He's going to start again for whatever reason. What I would like to see the U.S. do is not try and feed everything through Embiid to start the game.
Hmm.
Their offense is just so much better when they're getting out, running, free flowing, ball is moving. Dumping it into the post to Joel Embiid is not it. It is not the way to do offense.
It's really interesting where you sort of have that dynamic. It's the East Coast style basketball versus West Coast style basketball, the free flowing offense versus, you know, your standard heavy pick and roll.
Good morning, insiders.
Oh.
Nice, dude. Yeah.
Damian Barling, everyone.
Jesse Tapia. This is why you got to have a producer. Drew Holiday and Joel Embiid coming off the bench. Jason Tatum and Anthony Davis will be starting for Team USA. That's what I'm talking about.
Ooh.
Well done, Steve Kerr. It had to. That had to be what happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, look, fair is fair, right? All of these guys are all NBA or, like, they're all, like, exceptional players.
Mm-hmm.
You got to mix it up. You got to give these guys an opportunity to play.
It's time for the handoff. Damian Barling in the building. I have your mic on and up today. I'm really proud of myself. Go me. I'm just crushing it.
Did they just hand you the jersey and you're like, I'm putting it on right now. I can't wait to wear it. I love it. You got to wear it when you throw out the first pitch.
He is. Oh, he is.
Oh, I love it.
That's happening for sure.
Fantastic.
Did you get one?
I did. I got two of them, actually.
Oh.
Oh, I work for two stations, so I got one for each.
Oh. Well, he's just way cooler.
I'm jealous.
Well, no, well, if you want to work at KSFM, you can.
Oh, that would be great.
It's taxing, but you can.
That'd be great.
Okay.
I get paid more?
Yeah. Let me negotiate for you. I'll keep it a stack. We did not go to KSFM for our love of the business. Like we put together a very detailed financial plan that involved like five. It involved the three of us, Casey and Jesse. Like, no, it was a plan.
Perfect. Okay, so since I know how you guys do your stuff, I know that KSFM's got the mornings covered.
Yeah,
I don't know how the middays go
because
I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, I can just do that at the same time as this.
That's
so I'll just rock. I'll just rock the middays.
You could do what we do in the 3 o'clock hour.
Easy work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, perfect.
Well, I'm not in charge. Let's for go. The record. You'll
we'll,
have to contact
we'll go talk to
Mr. Complex.
We'll talk to Complex. Will be down.
Yeah, I'm
Complex
sure.
Complex is my guy.
Like nothing screams KSFM like Kyle Madsen on the radio. Like mad in the middays with Kyle or something like that. No, I could see that work.
There it is.
You've been at Chris Brown with us last night.
Oh, yeah, totally.
James could have gone.
So what I like to do is go to Chris Brown shows.
Chris, it was fire.
I bet.
Like that dude has.
He can perform.
Like the sheer volume of records he performed was incredible.
It is outrageous how many songs he has or is on that have just been around
smashes
forever.
Yeah, like he
run it comes on the radio today. I'm like, turn this up.
Didn't even do it. Most like early Chris Brown's from the early 2000s, he didn't do it.
That's fair.
Yeah, no, but it was you recognize
like 05
he had at least about 05 06, maybe a smidge bit later, but he probably had another hour of records he could have done.
God.
And that show ended just after 11 o'clock. Like, he went a couple of hours with two or three quick changes.
Man.
Yeah, he killed it. It was a spectacular show at the Golden One Center last night, for sure.
Well, I look forward to going to more concerts with you guys. Now, yeah,
absolutely. Mad in the middays. Kyle, I like it.
There it is.
We'll get you a KSFM jersey.
Are you taking Team USA minus 29.5 against South Sudan today?
So that means they
would
will
have
win
to win by
30. I don't think so.
I would not.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing that.
I'm not touching it.
Like, I don't think it's going to be what it was, you know, a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great moment for USA, the basketball, to kind of experience that before, you know, things got real and correct it. Know that you can't go in not prepared for these teams. So not only do I not expect that to happen with South Sudan today, I don't expect it to happen with anybody. Like, I think, I know it's kind of lame. They needed one of those. No, I absolutely believe that they did. Mm-hmm. And they got it, and it was South Sudan. They've been a hell of a story. You know, reading about Luol Deng's part in all of this over the course of the last week or so, I think it's awesome. But I think today will be a very different game. Very much looking forward to it, but I think today will be a very different game.
I kind of hope South Sudan keeps it close.
Yeah, I mean,
it's such a fun story.
Not an NBA player on that roster, right? I don't think.
Former NBA players, and they do have a kid who's going to be like a top 5 or 6 pick.
Okay.
In the upcoming draft.
Okay.
A 7'2" kid.
Wenyen Gabriel plays for South Sudan.
Oh, yeah. Wenyen does.
Kings Legend?
I missed that. Is he still in the league?
Yeah.
He is.
I think he played minutes for the Lakers last year.
Was that last year?
I think so.
Oh, wow. Well, salute. I remember him being on the Lakers.
No, we played for Memphis as part of the crazy, they have no players.
Okay, now that explains
last year?
Why I didn't see them.
Yeah.
That was 2 years ago that Wenyen Gabriel played for the Lakers?
Yeah, I don't feel like that was
God.
Last year. That was 2 years ago?
Yeah, that was 2 years. That's all crazy right.
Wenyen played 5 games last year. He clearly signed a 10-day with Memphis. The year before, he played 68 with the Lakers.
Bro, has played for 7 teams.
Wow.
Oh.
That's incredible.
Well, either way, salute to Wenyen Gabriel, man. Yeah. I think he was the flag bearer. If I remember correctly, I think he was the flag bearer
I've
for South Sudan.
This much of the opening ceremony. So
oh,
I
that's
will
a shame.
Believe you.
You should go back and watch it. It was really good.
He's a really good kid.
And yeah. I do not enjoy opening ceremonies at all. But that was this year it was spectacular.
All right.
It was an absolute spectacular show.
There's like a truncated version on
Peacock.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, watch that.
I might tap into that.
If nothing else, watch Celine Dion. Jesus.
She is unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah.
We couldn't hear a thing, but I was like, oh, I don't know what she's doing right now, but she is getting it. Just her facial expressions, and like she's looking at the camera, she's staring into your soul as she's singing.
Mm.
Like, yeah, this is fire.
Yeah. Yeah. She gets it. I have on the rundown here for Team USA South Sudan, does Jason Tatum play?
No.
And for the love of God, please stop trying to make Joel Embiid happen. Embiid coming off the bench, Tatum starting. Love it. It's my guy, Steve.
Of all the talk about Tatum, Joel has been an interesting watch the last 2 weeks or so.
It's hard.
He looks like
it's
tough watch.
It's almost uncomfortable. Like,
yes.
I honest to God just think he needs to not play. Like he need like Joel
he needs, time
he needs
to, heal.
To rest. Yeah,
yeah.
He needs to rest, mm-hmm. and they're like watching. Jokic just eats him, like, man.
It's crazy.
Like, you got the last two MVPs right here, and it doesn't look like it at all. And like, I don't like this version of Joel. I don't like the conversation that this version of Joel mm-hmm. has created, and we've spent far too much time on D'Lo and KC. But I hope Steve maybe recognizes that, and you know, maybe some more Anthony Davis minutes. Maybe we pull his minutes back a little bit.
Look at the difference between him and Jokic, though. Jokic came into this experience, and he's in such great shape, and he just looks so physically ready to compete. And then you look at Joel.
But Joel wasn't healthy in the playoffs, and I think that was part of the. I think Joel was living to play in those games. Like he couldn't do anything else. He was saving everything he had to try to get that team to advance in the playoffs. And
super tough.
He did what he could, but that's all he. That's why he kind of looks the way that he looks right now. Like he couldn't do anything else.
Brutal.
And now you've got this thing stretching for another couple of weeks. His offseason is going to be terribly, terribly shortened. Mm-hmm. So the amount of time he has to heal versus in the amount of time he has to train, it's not going to be the best.
Nope.
Yeah, tough.
What do you guys got coming up on D'Lo and
KC? A lot of this. I mean, we're going to put the game on. Like, last time we had the women playing at 12 o'clock, it turned into a watch party for 90 minutes, so that was a blast.
Oh, that's going to be super
fun.
So
we'll do a lot about that, and I'm sure at some point we'll talk about the massacre that's happening in Chicago right now.
Okay, very good. D'Lo and KC coming up next. James and I will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.